Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we're going to travel to Lambertville, New Jersey, and New Hope, Pennsylvania. We have our guest, Mark McNeese. Mark has done a lot. Mark McNeese is the author of 13 novels, including the Kyle Callahan Mysteries, the Maggie Dahl Mysteries, the Marshall James Thrillers, and several standalone books. He has had 6 plays produced, the last one being at the New Jersey Repertory Company. He is the founder and editor of LGBTSenior.com. That's LGBTSR.com, which I do have a subscription. It's a website dedicated to LGBTQ people over 50 and our friends that he launched 11 years ago. He is a 2-time Emmy winner. Wow, Emmy winner. You're really famous. As the co-creator and original writer of the children's television program Into the Outdoors, he worked as the story editor for foreign co-productions of Sesame Street before spending a decade at Reuters News, the world's largest news organization, as the executive assistant to the global managing editor. He has been the co-host of the Twist podcast, another podcast that I listen to now, along with his longtime collaborator, Rick Rose. He sounds very butch, too. and Rick is from Madison, Wisconsin, for the past 5 years. He currently lives in rural New Jersey. That's what I want to find out, a gay in rural New Jersey. After spending 25 years in New York City, preceded by 12 years in Los Angeles. So you went from the city to the country. He is a Mississippian by birth, a Hoosier by upbringing, and he prefers where he lives to either of those locations. He will soon celebrate 10 years of marriage to his husband, Frank Murray. They've been together for 17 years. Loves the country life, surrounded by woods, animals, and plant life, just 20 minutes from Lambertville, New Jersey, his favorite town, and now the setting of his murder mysteries. We'll have to learn a little bit more about those murder mysteries as well. So, Mark, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. And tell us your story. A city boy going to the country. What happened there?
Well, I didn't think that I thought I would always be a city person. I didn't grow up a city person. I grew up in a place called Elkhart, Indiana, which is about 30. Well, now it's grown. It's 40,000 people. Not far from Chicago, about an hour from Chicago, across the lake. I was born in Mississippi, the last of 9 kids, given up for adoption and raised in Indiana. But my sister, who I've always been very close to, Kathy, she's not my adoptive sister. She is my adoptive sister. Not my birth sister, but she moved to a little place called Ojai, California in the late 70s. She's still in the same house for all these years, but I fled Indiana and went to live with her. So I actually lived in a small, very small town in the mountains in Southern California. And then eventually I went from there. I ended up in Los Angeles. And that's when I became a city person, was when I moved to L.A. And that was it was at the beginning of the AIDS years, the very beginning, when they didn't know what AIDS was. It was gay cancer. It was GRID. It was whatever they were trying to figure out. So that was devastating. And after 11 years or 12 years there and the death of my partner, Jim, from AIDS, I had the opportunity to move to New York. I had met a man who didn't tell me he was interviewing for a job in New York City. I think if he had done that, I might still be in California. But he got me involved first. And then he said, I got a job in New York. Do you want to move with me? And I said, sure. So I moved to New York City. And his job was the executive producer of Sesame Street.
Wow.
So that's how he ended up working at Sesame Street and living in New York. And wow. I was in New York for 25 years. It's the one city that I loved. I fell in love with New York City. There's something about that. And even coming back into it when I would travel to go see my parents or something, just that skyline, there's no place like it. And I didn't think I'd ever move. But then 17 years ago, I went to a dating event at the LGBT center, and I met Frank. And it was not speed dating, but it was similar to that. And we went out, we got into a relationship. I moved back from Queens. I was living in Astoria, Queens at the time, which is a really fun place. I loved Astoria. But Frank had the house that I'm sitting in right now. His grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, and she and her husband bought this house in the late 1950s. So we would drive out from New York, from Manhattan, on the weekends, not every weekend, but most weekends we would, which I just got so stressed out about that. I would get off work at 5 o'clock. I'd run home to our apartment in Gramercy Park, load up the car, Frank would get home, and then we'd drive out here. It's very stressful, to tell you the truth. But 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, he retired from his job. We're the same age, but he was in the music business for a long time. So he retired, and then my company that I was working for, Life Insurance Council, they closed their Manhattan office. They kept their Albany office, but did not invite me to move to Albany, which I wouldn't have done anyways. So we said, well, it's time to move. Instead of coming back and forth, we moved here to this house, and we rented out our apartment for a year to make sure that we wanted to stay here permanently. So we rented it to somebody for a year.
Good idea.
And then within a year, less than that, we knew we wanted to stay. And that's what we did. We stayed here. I went to work. We used to shop at the giant grocery store on the weekends and take it all back to the city because it was cheaper here. And I said, someday I'm going to work at the giant grocery store, which is a weird thing to aspire to. But I did. I got hired at the giant grocery store 6 years ago, and I worked there. And then I retired from there, actually twice, but I retired two and a half months ago, and I went back part-time because I missed being around people 2 days a week. I just work 2 days a week. I don't have to do it, but it's nice. It was so nice to get a paycheck again, because when you're on Social Security, you get paid once a month.
Yeah,
it's hard difficult to get used to seeing a direct deposit once a month,
yeah,
no matter how much it is or how much it isn't. So I said, I'm going to go back 2 days a week. And that's the story. So that's how we ended up in this house. We do talk about moving. I don't know if we ever will, because like I said before that we were recording, I would like to be able to walk into town. I cannot walk into town unless right. I mean, I can. It's going to take me 2.5 hours, but I don't have any way to get back.
Right.
Yeah, I would walk into Stockton, the town near here. But then, like I said, how do I get back unless somebody picks me up?
Right. So it is rural. It's something.
Oh, it's very rural. I mean, we're on 26 acres.
Yeah, that's great. Wow.
It's mostly deer. We have neighbors. We know all the neighbors because Frank walks all the time. We're friends with all of our neighbors.
I'm sure. What a difference from Manhattan, New York. It's like totally opposite direction. So,
oh, yes. And we have, of course, we have at least one friend who, like, he comes out once in a while to visit us from the city. But he's a New Yorker. He won't even spend the night out here.
Really? I would do that. Okay, so tell us where is Lambertville and New Hope in the realm of things in New Jersey, Pennsylvania?
Well, I'm horrible in terms of northeast, south, and west. Frank could tell you right now, like, we're midwest New Jersey. I'm not sure, but I know that we're 90 minutes from New York City, and we're a little less than an hour from Philadelphia. So if you look on a map and you go New York to Philadelphia, we're a little more than halfway to Philadelphia. And by the way, I do like going to Philadelphia. I like it a lot. Philly's really cool.
So you like that city life too?
Yeah. I don't know. Trenton is 20 minutes from here. So it's called Hunterdon County, which is the county we live in. It's very Republican, but you have the pockets. You have the blues, the liberal cities like Lambertville is very progressive. They had a lesbian mayor. Now they got a gay mayor who I just ran into the other day. New Hope had a gay mayor for a long time, Pennsylvania. And I'll talk more about it, but I had mentioned to you that New Hope and Lambertville are right across the river from each other. And there's a bridge that drives over, but it's a walking bridge also, and people do it all the time. We will park in New Lambertville because you can find free parking there pretty easily. and walk across the bridge, because there's nowhere to park in New Hope where they're not demanding their payola, as I consider it.
How long is the bridge? Is it a far walk?
Oh, no, it's like 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Delaware River is gorgeous, and I love the Delaware Valley.
It's beautiful.
But the bridge, it's not far at all. It's hard to say, but you can absolutely walk it in. Well, I'm going to say 10 minutes. It takes you 10 minutes to walk across the bridge.
Okay.
And you go from town to town, from the heart of Lambertville to the heart of New Hope. And New Hope is very famous with gay people, because it was a gay escape for years.
Was that why they called it New Hope?
I don't know, but I know
you know the history.
Well, I know that there were writers who were there. No, the New Hope. Actually, I do, because, like I had said, I also write books that are set in this area. So I'm trying to remember when it was called New Hope. It might have had a fire. It might have burned down. Something happened to the town, and when it came back to life, they called it New Hope.
New Hope.
Lambertville was named after a person, like a New Jersey senator.
Okay.
And it used to be a crossway from Pennsylvania to New Jersey, and people who would have owned ferries, and they would ferry people back and forth.
Okay.
Back in the 1800s and earlier.
They'd ferry the ferries?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure we were there for sure. But Lambertville was one time what's called Coryell's Ferry. Coryell is a street in Lambertville, and it was John Coryell was the name of the man, and he had a business where he would take people back and forth from New Jersey to Pennsylvania, including criminals. He helped some criminals escape.
Oh, nice. Nice. So we're in New Jersey, Pennsylvania. We kind of know what the climate's like. So summers are really nice, right?
I'm not a summer person. Summers are... It's humid. It gets this year, and it's not always the same. This year, we had a very mild winter, which sounds delightful, except that it has to do with the changing climate. But we had a long spring. Normally, our springs seem very short to me. It might be like 2 or 3 weeks of spring. So you're going from winter clothes, you have a couple of weeks of spring, and then it's hot and muggy. But this year, we had probably a good 6 weeks of what felt like spring, which was really nice. And it's making the summer shorter. The hot part of summer, which I do not like, is much shorter this year, which is fine with me. Today's kind of sticky because of all the greenery. It's a very lush environment. It gets really humid.
Yeah.
Not Florida humid, but it gets humid.
Yeah, it's like New York humid.
Yes, because it was so close to New York. We often have the same weather. Like we watch the New York news all the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Yeah. I got away from those winters. You like the winters?
I like them because I like the change of seasons.
Okay.
And I also like, I'm a cold weather person. Every year after about 4 months of it, because the cold weather here is at least 6 months from October into May, April.
Yeah.
And after so many months, I get tired of it. But then the hot, humid summer comes, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till October. But I don't mind the cold. This house gets cold because it's an old little small house. And it's shaped weird because it used to be a one-room house originally. And then it was added onto, so it's got all this weird shape to it. And it doesn't heat very well. But I don't mind the winter at all. I kind of enjoy it.
I don't want to see snow. That's what I said. When I left New York, I was like,
oh, I love snow.
The next time I want to see snow is on a picture in Facebook or Instagram.
I grew up with snow in Indiana. And back then it was like, it really snowed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And my husband, Peter, is from upstate New York and in the Watertown area near the Canadian border. And that, I think it was so funny. We were up there for Labor Day weekend once, and it was beautiful. It was in the 80s, gorgeous weekend. And then all of a sudden, it was like Monday of the Labor Day. It felt like winter. It was going to snow. And I was like, well, summer's over. Because they get probably 3 days of summer up there.
Now, one thing that happens frequently here in winter is part of that. Because where I live... we have power outages.
Oh, you do?
happens a lot. So when we moved here permanently, we got an all-house generator. Frank wouldn't live here without one.
Smart.
So we have neighbors who have the kind where you got to put gas in them and start them up.
Yeah.
We have a generator that comes on as soon as the electricity goes off. 2 seconds later, the generator comes on. And it powers almost all of the house, except a tiny little refrigerator, something it doesn't power. But so, yeah, you really need that here because it goes out all the time. Just the other day, anytime there's a thunderstorm or a big storm, part of it is that we're surrounded by trees. And the trees always come down. In any kind of a windstorm, we lose a lot of trees. And they fall into the road and they fall over the power lines. And
do you lose internet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You do?
And it's funny because that was more of an alarm. That's more alarming than losing the power because the power comes, the generator takes care of the power. But we lose internet and it's like, damn it. We were just watching something on TV because we stream.
That's so annoying.
And there it goes. And yeah, so that happens. But I use my phone as a hotspot if I need to.
Hmm. And that works well?
The phone works as a hotspot. But we had also had a lot of beech trees here, and they're all getting killed. There's a bug. There's a beetle that was killing all the beech trees. So that's sad, really, because thousands of trees have been cut down because of it. We had one fall out in our yard a couple weeks ago. Didn't hit the house, but.
So as far as weather, too, besides hot and humid, do you get flooding or are you subject to hurricanes or you kind of get bypassed?
Where this house is, no, we don't get flooding because we're up on a hill. We're elevated, so the water runs down. 2 years ago, was it Hurricane Ida? There was a big, big hurricane, big storm 2 years ago. And Lambertville was Stockton, which is a little town between here and Lambertville. Stockton doesn't have much going on there, but that's where we get our mechanic work done. But their flooding was really bad, and Lambertville was hit really hard. There's an area where with the CVS and different stores and houses, and that was completely flooded. And some people couldn't get back into their homes. It was hit really hard.
Hmm.
And it wasn't from the rain. It was from creeks overflooding. And then all the water ran downhill into Stockton. And I, for like a week when I was going to work, it took me almost an hour to get to work because I had to drive around all of it.
Wow. Gotcha.
So flooding is definitely an issue here. It happens that we get flooding warnings a lot when it rains.
But you don't get hurricanes, really?
No, we got, Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember that? We were living in New York, Superstorm Sandy. In New York.
We were
in a blackout. We were in the part of the city, Manhattan, above 34th Street, I guess it was. And we spent a week with no power in our apartment on the sixth floor. That was horrible.
Yeah.
And that had a huge effect out here. There were people who had no power for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I had to go into Stanford to go. Yeah, for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I had to go to in town in Stanford, Connecticut, and stay at a hotel for a few days until they let us back. But okay. So is living in a LGBTQ community important to you? Do you have other gay people living
in Lambertville?
And
for sure. And I've always liked being in a diverse environment. In Los Angeles, I lived in Hollywood. I didn't live in West Hollywood. West Hollywood, of course, at that time was a gay mecca. It got devastated by AIDS, but same thing with Castro. It was like the Castro of LA was West Hollywood. I lived in Hollywood, and I always liked being around gay people, straight people, black people, yellow people, all kinds of people. And then New York was very much the same way. And out here, we have gay neighbors. We have gay friends. There's a couple, a male couple who lives just up the road from here. And one of them is Jim Golden. He has a very famous garden. He's a gardener, and he's actually known internationally for the garden that he has in the back of their house. And then all of our neighbors are gay friendly. There's a gun club up right up the road, and they wanted to buy our property for a long time, which would keep it, which would preserve it. And Frank wants it preserved, but they're totally nice to us. And they bring us venison and all kinds of stuff. And they come down.
And it's a gun club.
It's a gun club. Yeah. It's a hunting club, really.
Okay. It's not an offshoot of the NRA.
No. And I am a gun owner, by the way, but they're mostly, it's rifles. They told me I could come in there and shoot if I wanted to, but nice people. And then everybody knows we're gay. And we just, I think in a situation like this, in the, not talking about Lambertville, but when you live in a country environment like this, because mm-hmm. I call it the country, that's why I was so pissed off at this whole Jason Aldean thing that was going on with his song, Don't Try That in a Small Town. Because I finally saw an article about this in the New York Times, where there's a lot of different kinds of small towns. Mm-hmm. They don't own, the right wing does not own small towns. It's bullshit. Right. Ojai is a small town and an extremely liberal, progressive. And the same thing here. You've got small towns where people are really nice and wonderful and there's community. So, but we tend to not talk politics. Like you come to know like sort of where people are leaning.
Yeah.
And we just don't really get into politics. And then the ones that we know think like we do or support democratic causes, and those we talk to. We talk to about politics, but by and large, we leave it out of there. And I would never get into it with the gun club people. Because I already know where I'm wrong, I assume where most of them are. But they're nice people. You know what I mean? The only ones that we have that we like would never interact with are the ones with the Trump signs. You've got some of those. It's all over the place. But you have those in the city, too.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Here in Phoenix, we're in a little blue bubble also, because we're in the Midtown area, right in the middle of the city. And that tends to have more progressive people. But if you go outside in the outskirts, you have Trump signs.
And the same here, once you get into Lambertville, it's like I said, it's very progressive. Hate has no home here. You see those signs everywhere. You see Black Lives Matter. You see rainbow flags. I think Lambertville's only got like 5,000 people in it. It's not a huge place.
Those are the towns I love. The little, progressive towns.
New Hope is the same way. Lots of gays. What has happened though, one thing in New Hope, which includes Lambertville, I don't know if they ever had a gay bar in Lambertville, but 20 years ago, there were three thriving gay bars around New Hope, and they're all gone. The last one to go was called The Raven. It was there for many years. It's the first place Frank took me to eat when I came out here the first weekend that I spent here, and he didn't tell me it was a gay establishment. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around, and I said, boy, there's a lot of guys gay couples here. What's going on here? But it was called The Raven, and it was there for a long, long time. And it was the last of the sizable gay businesses, bars. It was also, they had hotel rooms, but that is not, it's a parking lot. Last year, they sold it like 2 years ago, and last year they turned it into a parking lot.
Why do you think that is? Is that because people don't care, or is it the dating apps are out there? So
I think it's the dating apps. I think assimilation has a lot to do with it. We're not, of course, they want to make us outlaws again. So maybe all the gay bars will come back once we can't say gay anywhere, but inside a gay bar. I think that had a lot to do with it. And then the apps and the internet, not even so much the apps, but the internet, you could find other gay people pretty easily. And then I had mentioned that New Hope had become very high end, and the parking lot that used to be the Raven now is a shuttle. The shuttles are there that take people to New Hope, and they take them to Garcia and this, there's another hotel there. I can't think of the name of it right now, but so like these high end super yuppie places went up, and their shuttle buses are what took over the old Raven. The only thing left around, it's not even really around here, but it's like an hour and 20 minutes from here. It's called Rainbow Mountain. And that's the only thing left that I know of its kind. And we've been there many times. I set my first murder mystery at a place modeled after Rainbow Mountain. But even that's not gay owned anymore. And it's...
To me, that's kind of sad because... I don't know. A lot of people say these days, oh, it's not needed anymore. People integrate. But you know what? I I don't give a shit what they say. I'm like, you know what? I feel more comfortable going to a gay bar and hanging out with gay people than going to a straight bar and hanging out with mixed people. It's just the way I
feel. Well, I agree with you. I think it, I don't drink anymore. And, but I think this, the spaces are very needed, and it is sad. It's not just nostalgia for what used to be. It's the fact that those spaces are gone. And like you said, you can find gay friendly. There's a restaurant slash bar in the complex where the giant grocery store is, but it, and there's a lot of gay people who go there, but it's very mixed. It's not a gay bar. It's just a bar where a bunch of gay people go.
Right.
It's not the same. And the Raven was a big loss because people
miss those places.
Yeah. People remembered it, and it was a destination from the city. They would come out and stay, and that's gone.
Yeah, it's, to me, it's sad, but maybe they'll come back. We'll have a comeback.
Well, like I said, the more they try to marginalize us again, because a lot of it's going to be needed. Going back 100 years, however many hundred, that was a big part of how all of those establishments came to be. The Molly houses in Britain. It's because we didn't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah. It feels like, don't get me started, Mark. I'm talking, I'm like a gay Jew here. So, all right. So let's see. So there's no real gayborhood in Lambertville. It's just pretty.
Well, I would say the whole town.
The whole town is gay.
Yeah. It's,
I like that. It's like Bisbee, Arizona.
Yes, it's not. There's not a. We used to call them gay ghettos. There's not. No, not like Philadelphia. I think you have to be a lot bigger than these towns to have a gayborhood.
Yeah,
there's definitely one in Philadelphia. It's called the gayborhood, Center City, and we love going there. That's a gayborhood, but in a place like Lambertville, it's too small to have one. So you see the flags everywhere. I mean, there's just gay people interspersed throughout the town.
I like that, though. It's nice to feel welcomed.
Oh, yeah, I feel very welcome. And when a couple years ago, 5 years ago now, because Facebook tells you how long ago everything was, my conservative sisters from Mississippi were visiting, and we took them for a stroll through Lambertville, and they loved Lambertville because you can't not like it. But, like, it's not Mississippi. I mean, Black Lives Matter and hate has no home here. You're definitely not in a Republican area when you're in this town.
Cool. So how hard is it to, or easy is it to make friends? Have you made some friends while being out there that are?
We have. Gay? And initially one of the reasons I liked working, cause I worked full time at the Giant until last year, was that I could be around people because I'm not very sociable. You wouldn't think that maybe from the podcast and all of that. But I'm not a social butterfly at all. Frank, on the other hand, has gotten to know everybody because he walks every day. He walks at least a minimum 10,000 steps, usually twice that. And he will go out every morning. He might drive into Lambertville, or he might go up to Bull's Island. There's a lot of great places, a lot of paths here to walk. If you like walking, this is a really good place to be. But he also will just walk around the roads here. And it's so like he knows all of our, neighbors. And they have said to him, oh, you're the guy that walks every day with the headphones on past the house. Frank knows everybody. And he's a lot more social than I am. Even like today, we'll go out somewhere and he'll start talking to somebody. And I'm like, God damn it. I just wanted to have my little bagel or whatever and get out of here. But he talks to everybody, and that's good.
It is. Because
he knows a lot of people, and it's gotten me to know a lot of people. But I have made a couple of friends. There's a couple, male couple that we're going to see tomorrow. We have a habit of, or a routine of going to the theater with them. There's a theater in Lambertville called Music Mountain Theater. It's really cool. It's local theater. They've done such a great job with it. And it's a huge company. They have a lot of actors, a lot of young and old actors. And I will say that, though, too. There's culture in Lambertville.
That's good.
There's a lot of culture in Lambertville. But we meet Tim and Ron there, and then we all go out to dinner. And Ron has Parkinson's fairly severely. So he's generally in a wheelchair. But I met them through my books, because he emailed me one day and said, I've read your books and it seems like you might live around here, because he lives in New Hope. And I wrote back and I said, yeah, I live in New Jersey. And so the four of us became friends. Cool. And then the couple down the road, Jim and Phil with the garden, we went out to dinner with them last week. We see them regularly. They have an apartment in the city though. And one of them would prefer to be in the city and the other one prefers to be out here. So a lot of times they're not together, because Phil will drive into Brooklyn to stay in Brooklyn and Jim stays out here.
That's my hometown. And then
a lot of women, because Frank's in the hiking club. It's called the Kingwood Hiking Club. And he's been in that for several years, and he leads hikes not every Thursday, but he trades off. And I go on a lot of those hikes now that I'm not working. So he knows a lot of people through the hiking club. Most of them are older too. There's no young people in the hiking club. And a lot of them are women. So he's made a lot of lady friends.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like opposite. So it's funny that you said that you're not social, when it sounds like you are very social. But
I can be. But left to my own devices, I would just stay here at my desk.
How about the towns outside of Lambertville and New Hope? Are they conservative or are they still progressive?
Depends on the size. It depends on the size. I mentioned Frenchtown, where we get our vegetables and stuff every other week. It's part of the CSA. That has taken off. I admit, I said that it 6 years ago it was kind of like felt not, it's sort of half dead. And now it's very vibrant. People want to live there. It's very gay friendly. So it really depends on the size. Doylestown, Pennsylvania, which is like 15 minutes past New Hope. If you lived where we are and you went to New Hope and you kept going for another 15 minutes, you'd be in Doylestown. Doylestown is really cool. It's bigger than New Hope. I think Doylestown had a gay mayor. So a lot of gay elected officials. But Doylestown's really, really liberal and really cool. And then you have pockets of small towns. Stockton is the nearest town to us, very small town. So it's probably, I'm not uncomfortable there, but I don't know how liberal it is.
Right.
And then you have just pockets of small rural communities. Like Kingwood, which is our address, is not a town, it's a township. And it's fairly large and it's rural. So there's no town. Well, there is a town. There's no town center in Kingwood.
Do you have a mailbox?
Yes, but
I always ask that.
We have a mailbox.
Do you have to go to the P.O. box?
We have a mailbox.
Okay.
We have a mailbox, but what was I going to say? Our address, our mailing address is Stockton, not Kingwood. So that happens out here a lot. You have people whose mailing address is in Frenchtown, but they actually live in Kingwood, because the mailing address is where the post office is.
Right.
So you got to mail me in Stockton, but we have a post mailbox right across the road.
Okay. So what's the local economy like? Like a house, let's say, I don't know, 2 or 3 bedroom house, 2 bath. How much does that?
Where we are?
Yeah.
In terms of
Lambertville.
Well, Lambertville's, it's going to be at least $400,000 if you're talking about price. Probably more. There was one house that was really cool that Frank didn't buy, but that was like almost $600,000. I would say if you're gonna spend $400,000 to $500,000 for anything decent in Lambertville. Mm-hmm. Frenchtown was a lot lower. We almost bought a house there that was 3 1/4, and it was a really nice size house. It was a really cool house, but there was no bedroom on the first floor. And when you get older, you think about it.
You don't want to be
like
climbing stairs to get up.
So he got cold feet and backed out, and that was right before the pandemic. And those real estate prices have gone up, not doubled, but they've gone up quite a bit because it got very popular. But out here in the country, there was a house up the road that was like $175,000. I mean,
wow.
There's another house that's actually about almost $600,000 by the gun club. And his name's Scott. He's a Republican, but he would come and plow our driveway every time it snowed heavy, which he was such a nice guy. They're asking $600,000 for their house. But he's had three people turn him down because they're right across the road from the gun club.
Oh.
And it's the noise. I don't think it's a political thing. Right. I think people don't like, because they shoot, they're shooting skeet all the time.
Yeah, but that wouldn't.
It doesn't bother me. I'm used to it.
Yeah, I think it would bother me. But then again, I have a light rail that toots its bells or horn. It sounds like San Francisco out my window. But anyway.
And then also here in Kingwood, I guess this is worth mentioning too. You have people who go back a long, long way here. It's that kind of rural community our friend Dave up the road, he's older than we are, but he lives in one house. His daughter lives in a house like right next to him. He has a gay son he and his partner are supposed to be moving into a house across the road where they got the little tiny goats. So, but people tend to stay around, their families stay around, or they flee. I mean, I fled Indiana, so I'm sure a lot of people leave the area, but there's a lot of people who really like it here. Yeah. And I think part of that is the distance between houses and stuff. Like, nobody's up in your business.
Right. Yeah. Everything is pretty private. Whereas we know what's going on to our next door neighbor. We live in an apartment building. It's totally, totally on the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your utility bills and stuff. Is that pretty much the same?
I think it's anywhere? They're not going to be real high. And the way Frank could answer that, but because he pays the utility bills. I've never paid the utility bill here. And we don't mingle finances. We just never have. But what happens is that, like, he pays the internet service provider, Service Electric. He pays that bill, but I pay for the streaming services. So I pay for YouTube TV. I pay for Netflix. I pay that, but he pays for the internet, so it comes out about the same. It might be, it's probably less than $100. The utility bills aren't going to be very high. What was really high was the oil this year because of the winters. And the oil prices last year, which they were blaming the president for, had gotten really high. So Frank, I think one time he had like a $600 oil bill. It's not for a month. It might be for a couple months. But utilities, I don't think are particularly high here.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Oil is probably more of an expense for people because pretty much everybody's got oil.
You have to pay for water too, right?
We have a well, so we don't pay for water.
Oh.
Yeah. It's illegal. Well, don't water. Tell anybody.
Do you drink it?
Yes. It's not illegal. I'm kidding. I take that back. We had it tested. We had it tested to make sure that we could drink it. But yeah, his grandma, I don't think she had the well put in, but the house has had a well all along. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the septic. She bought the house in the 1950s before they got a lot stricter with things. So like, our septic tank is not, we would have to get a new septic. I'm sorry. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. If we sold the house, we would have to pay for a new septic because we have an old septic that is in the ground. They don't allow them anymore.
Okay.
But the well water is fine. I have bottled water for the cats. I give the cats a bottle of water. And
but you
Frank
drink
uses
well water.
Frank uses it, but the 5 gallon bottles.
Gotcha.
But I use the sink for my coffee. I don't have any. It's never at this. I'm at my age. I'm like, whatever. What's going to happen to me?
Yeah, I use filtered refrigerator water.
But we did have it tested to make sure that we could drink, that it was safe.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
And it's nice that we don't pay for water.
Yeah.
You just have to be careful. Not careful, but sometimes the well runs out. My sister lives in New Jersey also, Patty, my birth sister. And her well ran out. She had to have a new well put in.
Wow.
Because they do run out.
How does it run out?
I don't know. It depends on the water table and the depth of it and how it gets replenished. But we haven't had any problem.
Well.
It's an old house, though.
So tell us about Lambertville's and New Hope's arts and culture scene. So I know they have plays and stuff like that, theater.
Well, they have Music Mountain Theater in Lambertville, which is community, really, really community theater. And they put on great shows. You can get season tickets for a couple hundred dollars. And It's very well supported by the community. It was founded back in the 20s, actually, as an outdoor by this guy who's, I can't remember his name, but that's how it started. And then they got somebody who donated or was a benefactor, and they took over an old factory and converted it into a theater. It seats probably, I'm going to say, at least 500 people.
Wow.
Maybe 1,000, certainly 500 people. And they do musicals. They do all kinds of, tomorrow we're going, what are we going to see? We saw On the Town. We saw all kinds of stuff there. Something Rotten was the last show we saw. So they've got that going on. They've got three coffee shops. One of them does book readings now, thanks to me. I was the first book reading she had done there. And they got a lot of restaurants. I would say more restaurants than art galleries. There are art galleries because you hear people talk about the art galleries. There aren't that many art galleries in Lambertville, but there are a dozen good restaurants, almost a dozen good restaurants. They have a place called Lambertville Station that at one time was a train station. And that's a very expensive hotel now with a really good restaurant. We go there a lot. And then one thing they're really known for is Halloween. I have to say that.
Oh, that's what you said on your podcast.
Yeah, I'm reading my new book, which has witches and warlocks, and I'm reading it at the coffee shop for October, Friday the 13th, which is perfect. But Lambertville, you can look it up online. It's for years now, it's very famous for their Halloween. They really get into Halloween, like hugely into Halloween. And people will come from miles around to walk up and down Union Street to see the houses because there's a competitiveness to it. And there's one woman who is, I can't imagine where she even houses all of these things, some kind of storage unit. But they outdo themselves with Halloween. Like there's a one house where they turn the porch into a pirate ship every year with a cannon that goes off. And there's the decorations are insane. And then on Halloween night itself, they block the street off. And you might get 5,000 people there walking up and down the streets. It's really fun. Crazy. And the whole month of October is like that. So I'm excited about doing my thing in October. And then
it's
in
my
New
birthday
Hope,
month.
Hmm?
My, it's birthday, my birthday month.
Too. Yes, and October yours. 28th is mine.
And my husband's.
And then, he's in October too?
Yeah, he's October 17th. I'm the 9th. And you're
when
the 20th.
When does Libra become Scorpio?
I don't know. he's still a Libra.
Okay. And then New Hope has Bucks County Playhouse. Now, I don't know how much you were up on theater in New York, but Bucks County Playhouse is famous outside of New Hope. In the old days, well, now too, you might have Linda Lavin, if she's still alive, but you'll have performers come from the city and do shows there frequently, and cabaret artists, and then they'll do musicals, they'll do plays. Yeah, they're very well known. They had shut down for a couple of years, but they were renovated and upgraded and all that stuff. So that's a big destination in New Hope is the Playhouse. And like I mentioned, they have gotten, it's a little high end for me, but they have some great restaurants. They've got some, if you don't mind dropping $300 for a meal, they've got some really good places to eat.
Yeah, I usually don't do that. Not even on special occasions. Well, yeah, $300 for two, yes, I could see that.
Well, I think we went to
New York City is
at least $200. High. Yeah, there's a place called Ferry in Maine it's part of the Logan Inn, which was also renovated. And I mean, it's got to be like $500 a night to stay there. At least Lambertville Station is in that range. I mean, it's New York City prices.
Yeah,
for sure. And then some of the food is New York City food, not all of it. But we eat in both places. We just don't ever park in New Hope because you have to pay. I resent that. I resent a tourist town making everybody pay to park there. Yep. I mean, that's nuts.
I hate that too.
Even at the theater. I mean, why can't you go to the Bucks County Playhouse and not pay to park there?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Sounds like New York too. So speaking of restaurants, and are you a foodie? Do you like to go
out? We eat out a lot. Yeah, we eat a lot. A little more than we probably should.
Do you have
Frank likes to eat out. So at least twice a week we go out to dinner.
Okay. Well, we usually do that on weekends as well. So how about, are there any high-end restaurants, like five-star restaurants, you would think?
Oh, for sure. In New Hope, there is, like I mentioned, there's Ferry in Maine. which is the restaurant inside the Logan Inn. That to me is superb food. I had a hamburger there that was amazing. Wow. And the French fries were done in duck fat. Oh my God. Oh. People go like, what's so special? Well, try it. Try the French fries in duck fat.
Duck fat.
But they have all kinds of entrees too. I'm just saying that I had a hamburger that was amazing. There are definitely high-end restaurants. There's one called Inn at Barley Sheaf. It's outside of town. You drive like 10 minutes outside of town. And that's really superb, and you pay for it. That's where you're going to pay between $200 and $300 for two people, depending on what you have. So yes, there are definitely probably more high end restaurants in New Hope and on the Pennsylvania side. There are some good ones in the New Jersey side, but you have, I think, the most expensive ones are in Pennsylvania.
Now I want to know what French fries and duck fat taste like.
They just taste different. They taste very different.
I've had popcorn drenched in duck fat. There was a place in Brooklyn, down in one of the shishi parts of Brooklyn. Forget where. But anyway, they had duck fat drippings for their popcorn.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty good. It was very good.
I think one of the reasons, too, with the restaurant, the food situation in Pennsylvania, is that Bucks County and New Hope is considered by a lot of people a suburb of Philadelphia. To me, it's not. Oh. It's 45 minutes to Philadelphia. I don't consider it a suburb.
That's a long way.
It's a long way, but a lot of people, like when you watch news reports, if somebody gets murdered in Bucks County and they're talking about it on the news and Philadelphia news, they'll refer to it as a suburb of Philadelphia. It's, to me, a 40-half-hour drive is not a suburb.
You might as well say New York. It's a suburb of New York.
Right. Or that, that Queens is a suburb of Manhattan. Which a lot of people thought it was. I couldn't get people to come and see me in Queens.
I used to live in Queens. This queen used to live in Queens, Bayside.
Where'd you live? I lived in Astoria. Loved it.
Bayside. I loved it, too.
Oh, Bayside. Yeah, we have friends in Bayside.
Yeah, around the Fort Totten area. Bay Terrace, actually, it was called. I rented an apartment in a high-rise condo complex. It was really, really nice. Didn't want to leave there. And then Peter met me, and he was like, yeah, we got to move. So, okay. How about, I wouldn't think, you would definitely need a car if you lived in Lambertville, right? There's no public transportation anywhere.
No, there's no public transportation. Yeah. They don't want it. Yeah. Even New Hope, you'd think there would be a bus, but it's deliberate. They have buses in Doylestown, but not New Hope. And I've heard people talk about these things because you wonder, like, why not? But there are places where people don't want public transportation because they don't want the people that it brings.
Yep.
And there was a bus called Transbridge Bus that went from Doylestown to New York City, and we used to take that into the city all the time. It would run every couple hours. But then during COVID, they stopped it, and then they brought it back, but it only runs like 6 in the morning and 6 at night. It's very inconvenient. So we've started going to a place called Clinton, which is a half hour from here. And the same bus, the Transbridge bus, goes to Clinton, from Clinton to the city. Because I hate driving into the city. I really would rather never ever do that again.
I hate driving.
I'm not a fan of it either. But you do have to have a car here. Because when we first moved here, we thought, we only had one car. We'll just see how that goes. And that lasted about 2 weeks. Because Frank would have to take me to work and drop me off and pick me up. And like I said, you can't walk into town. If you want to get there in less than 3 hours, you have to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have two cars. It's hard to live out here without two cars.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, then you'd be stranded. Is there any crime around?
Murder.
So to speak of? Yeah, like violent crime.
No, not really. It's very rare. But occasionally there'll be some bizarre murder, like in Bucks County, not far from here. There's somebody, this guy, it was on national news. A young man lured these three other young men in some kind of a marijuana deal or something and killed them.
Ooh.
We met the people who lived on the right across from that property the other few weeks ago at dinner, and by accident. But once in a while, you hear somebody getting murdered, but like theft and rape and all of that, it's not happening. I want to think some of it is because, especially in the rural areas, because a lot of people do have guns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you break into somebody's house here, there's a very good chance you're not going to live to get out.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. But
yeah,
the city, I don't think there's much crime in Lambertville or New Hope at all. Maybe shoplifting. That's about it.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of gun crime everywhere else in big cities here too, especially here. It's like the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
In Phoenix, because it's open carry.
Oh, it is open carry. Oh my God. Pennsylvania's open carry, but I've never seen anybody open carry. There was like one guy that I heard about at the store who used to like to come into the Giant with his gun on his hip. And to me, it's just so unnecessary and so insecure, but I don't ever see anybody, but it is an open carry state.
Yeah. Arizona is too. And I don't really see much of it either. I think the only time that really bugged me is I went to a women's march because of our lovely Supreme Court was outlawing abortion. So we went to the march to support the women, and there were these guys walking up and down, chanting these obscenities with their guns on their side, like they were going to shoot you. And I was like, after a while, I was like, I feel a little uncomfortable being here. So we left.
There was one thing recently. I think it was, where was it? Nashville? Where was it? Anyways, it was a black drag queen. And I'm going to say it might have been Texas. It was some place in Texas, Houston or something like that. And it was open carry. And I have to say, I liked watching this because it was on Vice News. She was doing a show and you had all of these Proud Boy types showing up to protest it. And all these queer people had guns. Like there was a lesbian with a rifle strapped on her back. And she said, if they're going to show up with their guns, so are we.
Oh,
and
that's
the one time I said, I applaud that. I applauded it because we're not just a bunch of pansies going to go running off because you're waving your gun around. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But no, I don't like them either. I'm a gun owner, but I'm very much into sane gun legislation. Absolutely. I think it's ridiculous that you can walk into a store.
Right. And just buy one at Walmart.
And just buy a gun. You're 18 years old. You buy a gun. 10 minutes later, you're mowing down people with it. I mean, to me, that's insane.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So very little crime in Lambertville. That's a good thing. Tell us about the healthcare. Do you have to travel far to get to a hospital or a doctor?
No, I'm happy with the healthcare. We have in Hunterdon, in Flemington, I'm sorry. Flemington is a fairly big, is it a city? It's big. It's a lot bigger than any Lambertville or New Hope. It's a central hub. But it's called Flemington, and they have a big hospital complex there, Hunterdon Health Center, Medical Center, and they have satellites. So in Lambertville, there's a satellite called Phillips Barber that is a doctor's office with a bunch of doctors, and that's where we go for our regular health care. And I'll be on Medicare in October, Frank is now, and they take Medicare, of course. But
younger than me.
Huh?
You must be younger than me. Because I started Medicare last year.
Oh, yeah. You're Frank's age.
Yep,
mine starts 65. In October. But I've really liked it. And it only takes about 15 minutes to get there. The doctors are nice. They got a little rainbow sticker on the door.
Oh, cool.
And then when we have to have anything done, like a colonoscopy, or I had to have my knee taken care of, you go to Flemington, to the complex, to the big complex there, because they've got orthopedics. They've got everything there. And I really like it. Much better than when I was in New York, because in New York, you had a different doctor for everything. You had an ear, nose, throat, endoscopy guy. You had the colonoscopy. Yeah. I mean, maybe they were the same primary physician. They weren't connected. Everybody was its own. Every doctor was their own thing. But here, it's all connected. So no matter where I go in within this network, they have all of my information on the computer.
That's good.
so I can go to my endocrine, what do you call him? The gastro guy.
Gastroenterologist.
And he just pulls me up and he's got all my information on there, everything that's happened, my medication. I have to go back to the sleep doctor in October. I'm waiting because I don't want to pay my deductible. I have insurance, but it's $1,500 deductible. And I don't want to spend the money. I have to be insured in case something happens. Because last year I had diverticulitis and had to go to the emergency room. So you have to be insured.
Yeah.
But I don't want to come up with the deductible. So I'm waiting. I'm just trying to make it two more months without having to go to the doctor. But what happened with that? Oh, just that it's really convenient to have everything.
How far is Flemington?
Flemington is, oh my God, not even 20. It's 20 minutes from here.
Oh, that's, yeah.
At the most, 20, 20.
My rule is as long as you have like within a half an hour, I'd like, or you have a hospital facility.
Oh yeah. It's a half an hour from here. I don't know how long it would take to get there in an ambulance. I mean, we've even thought of moving to Flemington because Flemington was down on its luck, but it's coming back. And we think like within the next 5 years or so, it'll be like Frenchtown, and there'll be a lot going on in Flemington, but it's a much bigger population, and it's got the hospital complex there.
I've heard of Flemington Furs.
Flemington Furs.
Do they make furs out there?
Yeah. I think I may have been there once. Frank had an old leftover fur coat from his grandma, and I think we went to Flemington Furs to see if it was worth anything. It wasn't. But there is Flemington for sure.
Yeah, see, it's famous. So what do you miss? Do you miss anything that you don't have in Lambertville or around Lambertville that you had?
Miss from New York City?
Yeah, from New York City, no. LA, nothing?
No, the only thing I miss, like I said, is being able to walk. I would like to be able to walk to a coffee shop and have coffee in the morning. I would love that.
You think you'll ever move to a place closer to
it's really town? Frank's call, and I've said that because I could move now. We almost did 3.5 years ago, but he's the one who needs to wake up one day and say, okay, it's time to move. Because I have said, I think that if you're going to make a move like that at our age, it really should be when you're still young enough to do it and to enjoy it. I mean, why? I don't want to wait until I'm 75 and move.
Right.
Why, at this point, why?
Moving you know, sucks.
Why would I move at 75?
Right.
So to me, we're sort of in that window of if we were going to move within the next 2 or 3 years, I think would be the time to do it. Certainly within the next 5 years, or just forget about it and plan on getting old here in the South, really old in the South. But I miss that. And even the health is a thing about there because when we think about you break something or you have to go to the hospital, a heart attack or something like that.
You want
to
be closer.
We are in the woods. It's not easy. An ambulance has to get here and then get you to a hospital. If we lived in Flemington, we would be in the emergency room within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Here you're looking at a good half hour. Cause like I said, the ambulance has to get here.
And does it GPS know where you are?
Oh, I use Amazon. That's how I buy everything. UPS is here all the time.
No, GPS. GPS? Could GPS find you?
Oh, sure. People use GPS all the time. The only thing that's weird out in the country, and it's not here, it's a lot of places, the GPS is not quite accurate to the exact location. It's happened a few times. And people have said, I can't find your house because the GPS, you know, the little location circle is off.
Yeah.
But GPS definitely finds us. I thought you said UPS because they find us all the time.
They find you.
Yeah.
Because they know it. So are there any cons other than being far away from the hospital, living out there?
Power. Power situation. The distances, but that's kind of what I already said, just about being apart from people. Mm-hmm. I like seeing human beings a little more than you do here.
Yeah.
Even in Frenchtown, it was nice when we were looking at the one house because you could look out and there was a sidewalk. There are no sidewalks out here. There was a sidewalk and you should see people walking on the sidewalk. It's like, wow, I would like that.
Do you have bears out there?
Some bears, mostly deer, lots of deer. We used to have bats. We haven't had bats the last 3 years. But a lot of deer, a lot of raccoons. Nature, if you like nature, this is a really good spot. We have a bird feeders now out front that we can look at when the kitchen door is open and we're having dinner at the kitchen table every night. There's a bird feeder and you see all these different birds come. It's really, and we have rabbits all over the place. So if you like wildlife, it's a good place to be. But the cons, I would just say the distance is, there's nothing else that and really power. Is not pleasant other than the house itself being too small. We have one bathroom. We would never buy a house with one bathroom again.
Yeah,
or we not have a bedroom on the first floor.
We definitely need to. So in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about living out in the rural area of Lambertville, New Jersey?
Well, I would say it's not what comes to mind initially as a retirement destination. People tend to think of, heaven forbid, Florida, which I will die possibly never going to again.
Been there, done that.
And as a state, I just think it's horrifying what's going on. I'm thinking it's Alabama South. Florida is Alabama South. Might as well be. But I would say you have to, depends if you like to, if you like small town life.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do. There are
Lambertville isn't a
really
real small
like the rural.
Oh yeah, Lambertville's not a real small town. It's actually a city. Lambertville is actually a city. Mm-hmm. It's in New Jersey. It just looks like a town. I call it a town all the time. But if you like that, it's a really good place to explore and to consider. And we do have quite a few people from New York City who are moving out here, not necessarily to where we live, but there's more of those too. And that gets into the politics of this township because you've got this old guard, all Republicans, who are like getting really nervous that people are buying houses out here from the city. Like we're going to take over.
Turning it blue.
But, yes, I hope so. We're trying. But it's a lifestyle thing. If you want to not live in a city, this is a really good alternative. And it's democratic. Politically, we're surrounded by Republicans, but Lambertville is totally progressive. And New Jersey is a democratic state. Mm-hmm. No matter what they're doing in Hunterdon County, New Jersey is a very safely democratic state for now. And you're close to everything. You're close to New York. You're close to Philadelphia. We can be in Philly in an hour, mm-hmm. which is nice. We go there some regularity. And it's just gorgeous. I mean, geographically, it's gorgeous. We visited our friends in Bethany Beach, Delaware, a few weeks ago. And we used to think about getting a house in Bethany Beach. But we love the Delaware Valley. The landscape is beautiful. The Delaware mm-hmm. River is magnificent. It's lush. It's green. You have the valleys. It's when it's called the Delaware Valley. It's just gorgeous. And there's so much to do. People go in the river and tube all the time. We see them today, for instance, in Frenchtown. It's a big spot for people to take their inner tubes and their bikes. If you like bike riding, they're all over the place here to the annoyance of some people because a beach town, I don't know I call them beach town bikes, a beach bike where it's like the Wicked Witch of the West. And out here, no, it's bikes, man. They all think they're going to be doing the Tour de France. And you might have 10 of them going around the roads, but it's a great place to bike, including motorcycles, a lot of motorcycles. So I think it's the best of everything. That's what I like about it here. When it's not Wilton Manors. I mean, for people who want to retire in a place, there's a lot of gay people. The country might not be for you. Lambertville would be fine.
Right.
Lambertville or New Hope would be totally fine. The country, you might not want to live out here.
Right.
But we're happy here because it's so close.
Yep.
I don't feel like I'm far from anything.
Right. Well, that's great. That's great. Now, tell us about you. Tell us about your books. Tell us about where we could find you on social media. Tell us a little bit about your blog, the
LGBT Senior.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
Yes. The one way you can find out all of this stuff is just go onto Google and type in Mark McNeese, McNeese. You'll get a lot of results. I've been writing for years, and I started writing murder mysteries 12 years ago. We went to the Rainbow Mountain, the resort I mentioned, And I said, oh, this would be a great place to set a murder mystery. I had written literary fiction most of my life before that. That is a genre for anybody who wonders. It's called literary fiction. And that's what I did until I decided to write a murder mystery. And I thought, well, if I sell enough of them, I'll write a second one. So I invented a character, Kyle Callahan, and they were partners then, not yet married. Now they're married because Frank and I got married. And it's murder mysteries. And then when we moved out here, my characters moved out here. So Kyle and his husband, Danny, left New York City and moved to Lambertville and opened a bed and breakfast. So the sixth book in that series was set in Lambertville at this bed and breakfast. And then I started the Maggie Dahl mysteries, which is not gay. She got a gay son, but it's not a gay mystery. And she and her husband moved out here, same thing, from the city. He passed away. She stayed and started solving murders. I have a thriller series, Marshall James Thrillers, that stayed in New York City. But that gave me a chance to write about a man who's my age, but he talks about all these murders he was involved in Hollywood in the 1980s. So I was able to go back into the 1980s. I went back and forth in time and wrote about LA in the 80s, the Hollywood Baths and everything that I went through and back there. And then I wrote a supernatural thriller that set out here in a little town in the woods, little place in the woods. But I changed the name with that because there's a bunch of evil people in it. And I,
is that I Warlock?
No, that one's called A House in the Woods.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually set in this house, but I changed everything. And then I'm writing the sequel. I'm almost done with it. I'm like two thirds of the way through with the sequel because it didn't end the way I wanted it to. So I thought I have to write another one just to make sure that good triumphs over evil. And then I did write a book called I Warlock, which is not set here. It ends up being set in New York, but that's about witches and warlocks and a man and his obsession with the woman that he loves. And that's what I do every day. I'm up at 5 o'clock every day writing books. And if people can go to markmcneese.com or you can just go to Amazon. If you go to Amazon and type in my name, you'll see all of my books. I have 13 novels. I've got short story collections. I wrote plays for 10 years and the last one was at New Jersey Rep. That was a long time ago, but I did write plays for a long time and I was in television. That's where they can find me. This website I started the same year that I wrote the murder mystery, the first mystery. It's called LGBT Senior. It's lgbtsr.com. I more than welcome new subscribers. It's kind of stagnant with the number that I have, but they're loyal. Mm-hmm. When they stop subscribing, you end up with sort of a loyal base there that opens your emails. So it's news. I do a news roundup every week. And then when I started it, just briefly, I had contributors. I had a trans woman named Stephanie Amott, who I adored. I mean, I just will always hold her in extremely high esteem. She passed away, and I had a contributor named David Webb out in Texas, Dallas, Texas. He used to write for the Dallas Voice. He didn't die, but he stopped writing. So my contributors either retired or died. It ended up kind of being me. And I would publish stuff from Dave Hughes, Retire Fabulously. And
I love Dave.
And I've always loved his advice columns. And I have a guy on there called the Savvy Senior, Jim Miller. He's syndicated. He's nationally syndicated. And I get his columns really cheap. And I have a book reviewer, Terry Schlickenmeyer. She's in Wisconsin. Her book reviews, I get her really cheap. So it's always been a challenge for me to keep enough content on there to keep it interesting. But if you sign up for that, I send the news out once a week, and the rest I've been trying to do once a week. And then I have the Twist podcast, which is thetwistpodcast.com. Rick, my co-host, we go back to LA, back to California 35 years ago. We were in the theater together, and he directed my late partner, Jim, in a couple of plays. So he's known me a long time. And he's the one who invited me to help him create a children's television program called Into the Outdoors, which is still on the air in Wisconsin. That's where it's shot and produced. I wrote the first 2 years and then I left the show, but I'm still listed as a co-creator. So we got an Emmy in 2000 and then they won a bunch of them after that. But in 2020, they decided, he got somebody to include my name on the submission for the Emmy. So I ended up getting an Emmy 20 years apart.
Wow.
I'm hoping for one this year because they put my name on two episodes that they submitted. So if we get one this year, I'm going to take a picture of them in bed. Just like Joan Crawford. There's a famous picture of Joan Crawford sleeping with her Oscar. So I want to get a picture of me with my three Emmys. And the twist is every Sunday. We do take some weeks off, when especially when I'm traveling, because I can't really do it effectively from not being at home. Right. But it's up every Sunday. It's politics. It's commentary. We have a really fun rapport. I think that's people like about
it. You do. It's really...
We've known each other for so long. And that's pretty much all of me. And you can find me at the Giant at the deli department on Wednesday and on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings.
Okay. I'll ask for pastrami on Ron.
I don't do the hot food anymore. That was one thing I said when I went back. I'm not frying chicken. I'm not putting raw chickens in a rotisserie. I mean, it was just.
Yeah, too.
No more.
Yep. Gotcha. All right. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being a guest. It was a pleasure. Learned all about Lambertville and New Hope. Definitely enjoyed it. And I'm sure our audience will too. And we will definitely look you up and start reading your books and listening to your podcast. You do a lot. You do an awful lot. I don't know how you do it all. And you're retired.
I get up at 5 usually, and then I can put 3 or 4 hours in. I do everything in the morning. I'm not an afternoon person. Even doing this, I'm like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I'm a morning person, but I'm kind of like spent by noon. It's just, I'm done.
I hear you.
But you can get a lot done in 4 hours every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you do it. So thank you again for being a guest. And we'll see you next time, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.